You know, Peter, I was just thinking that while you were talking with Jake, that the church is one of the few organizations whose goal is to kick people out.
It is. It is.
Yes.
But in a good way.
Yes, in a good way.
We love you, and we'll see you again. Yeah, you're right, Rob. And as you can tell, we're doing something different today. We will get back to Isaiah next week, but we really want to focus on forwarding people out into the world. That includes both here locally and in other countries. And so we're going to specifically look at a goal that we had established, as elders and also ministry leaders. We all talked about it. We prayed over it. And there was a certain goal that had to do with that forwarding vision that we have here at Cornerstone. That goal that we had set was to find support and forward 2 to 3 new missionaries into the world. And amazingly, without us even trying, really,
right,
we've actually accomplished this goal today. We are now supporting at least 2 missionaries. We assume Jake will be the third, honestly. The first is a couple people that you know, they attend here at Cornerstone, Brian and Linda Hamilton. We recently are part of their ministry supporters, and we love what they're doing. If you want to know what they do, they're at Ambassadors for Christ International. AFCI is the acronym. And they do a wonderful job of bringing the gospel to the nations of the world. So when they moved down from Canada and Brian's the director, we were like, yes, we want to get behind what you're doing. And God is doing amazing things with AFCI. So I encourage you to look at their website, check out what they're doing. Talk to Brian and Linda. You want to get behind this ministry. It is an amazing ministry that God is using for His glory in spreading the gospel. Like Rob said, we're going to have some special people come up that we're actually forwarding into the mission field this week. And for sensitive reasons, again, for those of you at home, at some point in this message part of our worship time, we're going to have to turn the live stream off because of the sensitive nature of where they're going. Now, we don't know if they would get in trouble or anything like that, but we're just taking precautions. Mm-hmm. So we're going to make it very clear when that happens. We'll talk to you, those of you at home, and we thank you for being understanding. We love that you can watch with us in the morning, for especially those who can't make it here on a Sunday for various reasons. We love live streams, so we're sorry we have to do that. But again, we're trying to just be obedient and care for our brothers and sisters in Christ. So we're going to talk about forwarding, and particularly, Rob, we want to first try to get a good idea of what it means and how we're supposed to forward people in the mission field. And the best place we can look to figure out where that is where, Rob? Let's give you a hint.
The Bible.
Yes, you got it right. Good. Good.
Absolutely.
So today, I want us to look at a passage in the Bible. We're only going to spend about 10 minutes in it, and then we're going to have this missionary family come up and talk to you all. But I want to go to the Bible and look how the early church did this. We're going to look at Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 12. Now, the beauty of this, of looking at this passage, is if you have been attending Cornerstone for a while, you have already heard this message a little bit on June 25th of this year, okay? Brian Hamilton actually preached on June 25th of this year on Acts chapter 13 and did a wonderful job of explaining how God, like, forwards missionaries into the field. And he looks at the first missionary journey of Paul to do this. So, if you want to have a really great sermon to listen to that's a little bit longer than 10 minutes, I encourage you to go to our website, look for Brian's sermon, it's on June 25th, and listen to it, because you will be blessed and encouraged. Brian is just an amazing communicator, and he will get you fired up for forwarding people into the mission field.
And I got to acknowledge something here. So, like, if Brian spoke to our church about Acts 13, we felt led to talk about Acts 13. And coincidentally, Men of the Word recently went through Acts 13. We should take the hint. God wants us to learn something from Acts 13.
Yes. In fact, one of our elders, when he was doing the financial presentation a couple weeks ago, when Strickland actually brought up Acts 13.
Yes.
And then look on your bulletins on the back there where it has all the announcements. Mm-hmm. Guess what memory verse? This wasn't planned, actually. It actually happened on its own because the CBC kids are doing this passage for this month. What's that passage? It's not Acts 13, but what is it? Acts chapter 1, verse 8, right? Which is all about going into the mission field. So, you know, even in our incompetence, it's beautiful how God set things up. So he is telling us, we need to focus on this today. We want you to see the passion we have here at Cornerstone. And we want to do what the early church did when they sent people out in the missions field. So let's go ahead and everybody, those of you as well, go to Acts chapter 13 and let's look at verses 1 through 12. Yes, if you have any kids still in here, go ahead and go to Children's Church.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are going to go to Children's Church, and actually the kids are going to come back in at the end of the sermon time and be a part of us again. So kids, go ahead and go and enjoy your time. So Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 12. Let's look at what the early church did. Rob, I'm going to have you read this.
Will do. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. There's that kicking out thing again.
Yeah.
So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia. And from there, they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Now, when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul, that he's talking about Sergius there, and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, which is another name for Bar-Jesus, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "O fool of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now, indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord.
Mm. This is a powerful passage that tells us how the early church, this is one of the first missionary journeys out into the world to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. It shows us what they did, and we can take a lot of clues from here of how we should do it as well. So
Absolutely.
Let's just look at this and observe what the early church did. If you look at verse 1 in the very beginning, there is an eclectic group of guys actually that's part of this church trying to figure out who to send. Let me just tell you a little bit about them. One guy is a Jew from the island of Cyprus where they're going. One guy is a Jew from Africa. Well, he might not have been a Jew, actually. He just was from Africa. One guy is a Roman. One guy was friends with the ruler who killed John the Baptist. And one guy was a Jew who used to kill Christians, came to faith in Christ, and then wrote about half of the New Testament.
Wow.
So this is such a diverse crowd. You know, we talk about in our culture today, like we love diversity, and that's kind of a big buzzword in this culture, this American culture right now. What's interesting with our American culture is we want to divide people into groups and talk about how, well, you're from this tribe, you're from this tribe, you're from this tribe. And then we have that whole woke movement about, like, well, which one of them is oppressed the most, right? God does the opposite. He takes people from all these groups. Look at that. You got a guy from Africa. You got a Jew from this island. You have a Roman person. He takes all these people from different groups, brings them into the church, into the body of Christ.
It's beautiful.
And he says, "I'm out of you, from the world, I will send you into the world." And he does an amazing job of just capturing that spirit of the early church. We are one in Christ. We are not separated. We're not. It's not about tribalism, about people from different cultures. It's about bringing people from different cultures together, serving one Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. And we have a purpose in life. We have a mission that he's given us, a great commission, as it were, to share the gospel with the world. So let's look at this church and what these men did to figure out how they would forward people into the mission field. Well, the first thing we would need to notice here is that God has a part, but also we have a part. I have no idea. Oh, there we go. That was supposed to be another slide. Never mind. So what is God's part in this mission to forward people out onto the mission field? Well, again, I'm going to actually take and steal from Brian's sermon that he gave on June 25th. So thank you, Brian.
Is it stealing if you give him credit?
No, probably not.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Do I have your permission, Brian? Okay, yes. So what God's role in this, the Holy Spirit's role, if we look at this passage, is that the Holy Spirit speaks, then he separates, and then he sends people into the mission field. So God has to be a part of this entire process. It begins there with God. Now, we don't know how the Holy Spirit spoke to these men. Maybe it was an audible voice from the heavens. Maybe it was just this consensus in prayer. It was a feeling that this is where God was moving them. It's really hard when you want to talk about how God speaks to you, because we don't want to go to one extreme that he never does, and we don't want to go to the other extreme where it's this charismatic movement that just gets out of hand and everybody's a prophet. But somehow God intently spoke to these men, and I think we can figure out why he spoke to them, because it talks about they were praying and fasting. Mm, yeah. And how we know God was speaking to them specifically is that it jived with Scripture, and they just had the Old Testament there, but it also was a consensus among them that this is where God was moving them.
Yeah.
And so the Holy Spirit speaks to these men and says, okay, you're going to go out into the world and spread the gospel. I'm going to separate out of you in the local church certain people to go, and I'm going to send you out and be with you during this endeavor. So that's God's part. But then there's a part of the church. We have a part as well. And we see this in this passage. The church's part was to find qualified people. So it wasn't somebody that's in blatant sin, someone who's unrepentant, right?
Makes sense.
To pray over whom they should send and connect with God, and to also fast over it.
Yeah.
And that those three things, to look at who's qualified, who have we been praying for, Lord, who do you want to send? And fasting, not eating food for a meal or for a day or a week. We don't know how long they were fasting.
Yeah.
And this one really convicted me, actually.
Yeah, same here.
I was convicted because I was like, we didn't pray too much, Lord, or fast too much, Lord, to figure out that we want to support Brian and Linda and the other couple we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
So it really convicted me, like, wow, we need to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
We really need to do this as it's been modeled in the early church. And so if you look at these men, these were men that were leader of the church. So these are sort of the elders of the church, that these five men that are described in the very beginning there. They come together, they pray, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he directs them to say, send out Paul or Saul and Barnabas out into the world. But then things get really crazy. So that's kind of the model of how we should do it as well. We should be seeking God so we understand who are you, Lord, speaking to, separating, and sending. And then we get to our part. Okay, who's qualified? We need to pray about this. We need to fast. And then we send them out. And so Paul and Barnabas go out. And then what happened?
Yeah.
Things got crazy,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Exciting.
So let's model like what the early church did about God's part and our part, and then also understand what's going to happen to these people when they get into the mission field.
Yeah,
so what happened to these people? Well, if we look at verses 4 through 12, God makes it very clear through this descriptive event of what happened with Paul and Barnabas about going to the island of Cyprus. I think this is also a model that we can expect when we send our missionaries out. We should expect that there's going to be opposition to the gospel. But we should also expect God to tear down those barriers or obstacles to the gospel. And that's what we see in our passage here today. We see there's good news and bad news when we send missionaries out in the field. Whether that be local missionaries, you and I in the local church, or those who are going to other countries around the world. There's good news and bad news. The bad news is it ain't going to be easy.
Yeah.
They're going to hate you. They're going to dislike you. They're going to do things maybe even against you. You are going to hit opposition, like we see here in this passage. Elymas, this Bar-Jesus is also his name, like you said, which means son of Jesus, which is so ironic because Paul calls him the son of the devil. He has nothing to do with God or Jesus. So there's an irony there, but he's standing up in opposition against Paul and Barnabas. But what does God do in that exchange between Paul and Barnabas and this false prophet Elymas, or who's also called Bar-Jesus? God does something crazy. He makes him go blind in front of his boss. And that tears down the barrier for this proconsul, which says that he's an intelligent man, which I love. When I talk to unbelievers, a lot of people will harp on us Christians, especially when I was a chemist in the laboratory. They were like, you're a smart person. You're an intelligent person. How could you believe in this fairy tale of Jesus? And I say, actually, it's the logical truth that actually brought me to Christ specifically. That's not true for all of us. And so it wasn't just that Elymas went blind that brought this proconsul, Sergius, to faith in Jesus Christ. It was also Paul and Barnabas sharing the gospel. That the miracles actually really never bring people to Christ unless they're open to them. If people are hard-hearted, you see this in the scriptures with Jesus. If people don't want to believe, a miracle's not going to change their mind usually. I mean, yeah, maybe. I'm not trying to like, it's not a hard and fast rule. But Jesus did a lot of miracles in front of people, and they didn't believe who he was. So just because Paul and Barnabas did a miracle, it doesn't mean that the proconsul Sergius was automatically going to believe in him. But God did something to reinforce the word, the truth that was shared, the gospel that was shared, that what their words were the truth. And here's a miracle to back it up. And this proconsul said, sure, I'll do that. I believe in what you're doing. Now, this is a cool map that kind of helps you see a little bit. Hopefully those of you online can see a little bit of what that journey looks like. It's in modern-day Turkey, really, is where things are happening. In modern-day Syria is where the church in Antioch, where Paul and Barnabas were from, got sent out. They went to that island of Cyprus, and this is where they encountered these things. And then they go up into modern-day Turkey and just continue to share the gospel. But we get a good model here of what we should expect as a church when we send people out into the gospel. So let's review. The first thing we see that is that God has a part, right? He's going to speak, he's going to separate, he's going to send. The church also has a part in sending out missionaries. It's to find who to send, pray over who to send, and fast over who we should send and support. And as they go out in the mission field, we should expect opposition. But we should also expect that God will remove those oppositions. We don't know if it's going to be a miracle. We don't know if it's going to be through, you know, there's some Christians you got to pull out of the country because things get so rough. But God is there working amongst them. So there really is no failure when you're on God's mission. We might say it's failure from our perspective, like, oh, wow, this didn't work the way I thought it should work. But God's saying, no, this is working exactly as I had planned. Your job is just to be faithful to me.
That's right.
Faithfulness is key here. And so we have been fortunate that actually at this church, we spend about, and this is sounds braggadocious. Is that a word, right? Sounds braggadocious. And it sounds good. We spend about 25% of what you give to Cornerstone on supporting 14-plus missionaries and mission agencies. And it's because we believe it's what God called us to do. This is what the early church was doing. This is what we should be doing. We should be focused locally, and we should be focused globally.
And really, that's why at Cornerstone, I mean, you know, so talking about the budget, but it's really in our DNA that our mission statement, our vision statement, has to do with forwarding and making disciples at home and abroad. And it's why we, as we were praying through the 10 and 10 goals a few years ago. What year are we in, by the way? Do we know?
I think we're just 1 year in.
1 year in?
Yeah.
Okay. Man, that feels longer. Anyway. So 1 year in, but that's why when we were praying through those goals was to make sure that we included something about forwarding, because it's very much a part of who Cornerstone's history has been.
You're right. In fact, let's just review our mission statement, our vision, and that fifth goal that we had. So this is on your bulletin. I just want to remind you guys, this is our mission here at Cornerstone. It's nothing fancy. This is just from Jesus himself. Our mission is to glorify God. That's why we were created. We are created to glorify our Maker and work and do things for him and rejoice in the relationship with him. And what we've been called to do is we glorify him right now by making disciples of Jesus Christ at home and abroad. And we do that with our four F's, and that's on your bulletin as well. We find undiscipled people, we fold them into the family, we feed them to maturity, and we pour them into his mission. So our goals here, our purpose here as a church is to do these four F's with each other. It's both locally and abroad. And like I said before, our goal number five with our 10 and 10 goals, which is based off of our mission and vision, is to find, support, and forward 2 to 3 new missionaries. And that's why we're doing this today.
Yeah, that's right. And we felt it was so special, such a special thing, a momentous thing, that we really wanted to take time to set aside the service like this and in sending this family on. And we were so glad that we could also celebrate with Jake on what the Lord's been doing in his life. And again, how God orchestrates things, right? And just lines things up together at the same time.
That's right. So now, because of the sensitivity of the people coming up here and where they're going, we're going to be turning off the live stream now for their protection.
Yeah, live stream team. Well, first of all, let me address the audience in the live stream. We really do appreciate you worshiping with us, and we do hope things were a blessing today. But we are going to go ahead and turn the live stream off. So live stream team, please go ahead and turn that off. And I ask that at least one of you come out.